reading of that word this morning, as we think about the light this morning, I pray, Father, we might be adherers to that light. In Jesus' name. A man flew into Chicago and he hired a taxi to take him downtown. And as he was riding along the freeway, they came to a red light. And the driver went straight through the red light. The man said, "Hey, don't you know that's a red light? You're supposed to stop." Taxi driver said, "Yeah, I know." But he said, "My brother does it all the time." Came to a second red light, and he came to the red light and he went straight through it. And the chap says, "Hey, I'm telling you, don't you know red light means stop?" Taxi driver says, "And didn't I tell you? My brother does this all the time." Comes to the next set of traffic lights and the lights are green. And he stops. And taxi driver's standing there. And so the chap says, "The lights are green now. That means you can go. Why aren't you going?" He said, "Because my brother might be coming through here any time now." I don't know about you, but traffic lights are one of the worst things when you're driving. You don't know whether you should approach them very, very slowly, so when you get there, the lights have gone from red to green and you can carry straight on, especially during a driving test. I don't know how many of you, some of you probably haven't sat your driving test yet, Kevin, but when you sit your driving test, what happens is when you come to traffic lights, you're praying, "Stay green. Stay green, Lord. Let me get through these traffic lights." Aren't you? He's someone here recognizes it straight away. I just hate traffic lights, don't you? And the worst is when it's on amber and you don't know whether to go or not. You're like the grand old Duke of York, aren't you? You're neither halfway up or halfway down and you're just wondering. I hate traffic lights. I don't like traffic. I don't mind roundabouts, although sometimes I do get confused with my right and left. But basically, I can handle roundabouts. But traffic lights do seem to get me. And the only time I've ever broken the law is when it was on amber. And I'm certain it was on amber. But when I went past, someone took my photograph from a camera. And one of my friends went straight through it the next day and he got taken as well. And I think it cost me £60 fine and 3 penalty points. The only time I've ever broken the law. And I said, "Listen, it was on amber." He said, "Well, don't you know, amber means stop as well." I said, "It always means go to me." And from that day, I just had this fear that the lights are going to turn red. But I wonder whether or not we are true lights. I wonder, when Jesus made that statement, that he was the light, but he was also a light. And that light shines in darkness. But the darkness hasn't understood it. I believe that Jesus Christ was proclaiming himself to be the light of the world. We're going to be looking at Jesus' testimony of his light this morning. Because John is stating that Jesus Christ is the only one in whom can show us the way to the Father. And Doreen has read in the scriptures of John 8:12 and 9:5 and 12:35-36 that Jesus made his second statement. His statement last week was that he was the bread of life and that we must be hungry for him and feeding on him. On the spiritual food that God gives. But we are too to be reflecting the light that shines in the darkness. This world is in darkness. And they need to see a light. History records an interesting footnote. It was during the dark winter of 1864 at Petersburg, Virginia. The Confederate Army under Robert E. Lee faced the Union divisions of General Ulysses S. Grant. It was, of course, the American Civil War. The war was now 3.5 years old. And the glorious charge had long since gone away when they were going to be fighting for the freedom of slavery. There they were in their trenches, firing between one and another. And late one evening, one of Lee's generals, Major George Pickett, received a word that his wife had given birth to a beautiful baby boy. And so up and down that trench, they lit bonfires to celebrate. These fires did not go unnoticed in the northern camps. And soon a nervous Grant sent out a reconnaissance. Find out what all these fires are for. And it happened that they came back and said, oh, one of the generals has had a baby boy. And so they're lighting up for a celebration. When the general heard that, he knew the general who he was fighting against. They'd both served with each other at West Point. And so he ordered his men to light a bonfire to celebrate the birth of the man that he once knew before they became enemies. Friend, Christ has come the same way. The bonfire has been lit. Christ has come into the world. The very one that Isaiah prophesied about. The one that the angels rejoiced. They had rejoiced over this baby boy. The sad fact was the next day when those bonfires went out, they started killing each other once again. I want to tell you there is a light that has come into the world. And I thank God it will never be extinguished. Because the light has come and we celebrate a baby that was born. Unto us a son is given. Unto us a son is given. Unto us a prince has come. His name shall be called Emmanuel. God is with us. The light has come. The light that the Jewish people were expecting is now, John says, in the world. But the world does not recognize him. But Jesus made it very clear that as far as he was concerned, he was the only one who could illuminate a dark and desperate place. And I want to tell you, four Indian men have been given the death penalty. On Friday, as I was on my way to Sutton, I heard it on the news, as I was listening to the radio in the news, they had gang raped a young lady and she had died. We live in a world which is full of darkness. We live in a world where a country leader, if we are to know is true, has gassed his own people. We live in a world where not so long ago 6 million Jews put into concentration camps and gassed to death. The world has not changed. 2 world wars, and we're still fighting as many today as we've ever done. The darkness is here, but thank God, so is the light. We must never, never forget that light is more powerful than darkness. And that's why we have a victory song this morning. Because Jesus is the light of the world. The one who was more powerful and able to penetrate in this dark climate in which we find ourselves in. There is hope for a world that is lost because Jesus, through the power of his Holy Spirit and you and me this morning. That is why Jesus proclaimed that we are a light on a hill. But how are we going to shine that light for God? It is very much up to us. And the politicians will try their best. Thank God they will try their best. But we have the answer because we have a Savior who is able to break the power of darkness. and his light shines through you and me. Jesus declared this at the first time, as I've got that scripture for you. It was an outpouring of water on the west side of the altar. Jesus had gone up to the Feast of the Tabernacles. And there, as they were pouring out the water, which was very significant, the choirs were singing. Jesus proclaimed himself to be the light who the Messiah had sent. He was their Messiah. The second lighting that he took place was when they were lighting several large candles in the temple precinct. And John indicates that Jesus took the opportunity of these two symbols, both of water and the lighting of his candles, to step into this world and to show us by this metaphor that the glorious presence of God had come. You see, the children of Israel would know in Exodus 13 verses 21 to 22 how they were guided by the light. Do you remember in the wilderness they were guided by the light? I wonder this morning, are you guided by the light? Is our daily living guided by the light? Do we walk in the light as he is in the light? Do we? That is a question we have to ask ourselves. Because we are their only hope for a lost world. And Jesus was saying, do you remember when I, my Father and I, through the wilderness gathered you for 40 years? By fire and by light. But Jesus is saying, I am that light. The very light that guided you. I am, remember. And they knew what he was saying. He was saying, I am before the world was created. I was in existence. I'm the one responsible for guiding you safely for 40 years. I want to thank God this morning. He's the one that's going to take me to the other side this morning. Because his light will never distinguish in my life. When I fail him, he's still faithful. His word tells me that. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And what is it? A light unto my path. I don't have to walk in darkness when I get up in the morning. I have the light that shines. But I wonder how many of us are attracted to the darkness. The pleasure in the world that has to offer. I wonder, does the very glory and very presence of God lead me day by day? Am I led by the light? There was a problem. John wrote in his epistles the very same thing. He's saying, listen, if you don't love one another, you are walking in darkness. You say the truth is in you, but it's not in you. The proof, you see, is not telling me you're born again. The proof is I see the fruit and the evidence of your being born again. He says, I'll know it. You will love to be with the people of God. That's one of the evidences. One of the evidences of knowing that I'm born again is that John says you will love to have fellowship one with another. Jesus said it, all men will know that you're my disciples when you love one another. There's something about you that will be attractive. And John says, do you really want to know whether you're born again? Well, one of the evidences, you will love to be with God's people. It said also, you will love to have fellowship with the Father. Paul goes on to say, listen, why are you stopped coming to church? Why are you forsaking yourselves from assembling unto God? He makes it quite clear, the Apostle Paul. He doesn't hold any punches back. Paul says, why are you stopped coming to church? Why are you stopped worshiping? One of the evidences of that you're God's people is that you will regularly meet and come together and have worship and fellowship. The world, my friend, is looking for a light. Believe me. They're looking for a light. They're tired of the darkness. They're tired. The second thing that Jesus was saying was, do you remember in Exodus 14, 19, 25, that I protected you from your enemies by that light? Psalm 27, 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Hallelujah. The Lord is my light and my salvation this morning. Isn't it wonderful to have a Savior we've got? I could have just worshipped that communion table this morning. When we know the depths that God has done for us, when we know what Christ has gone for us, and He's promised that I will be led by His light. He will be my light and my salvation. The Word of God, as we've just read, is a guide to a path to those who will cherish instructions in Psalm 119. And Revelations, it says, God's light is shed abroad in our hearts. Habakkuk 3 and 3, 4 says it. Ezekiel 1 and 4. The Bible tells us in Revelations that there's no need for light in heaven because Jesus is going to illuminate heaven. I'm afraid, Alan, you're redundant. There's no more electricians needed, Alan. Jesus is the light that's going to shine in the darkness. I'm so excited that Jesus is going to illuminate heaven when we get there. What a prospect we have, man. We have the light. We're not stumbling in darkness. Should Jesus come and in an hour's time, we're going to go home. And I tell you what, the world will be plunged into such darkness when we leave this earth. I want to tell you, we need to be praying for our families. Because if you read the book of Revelation, make it an understanding, those who are left behind, they are plunged into darkness like they will never know. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians, the only reason this world is not blown apart is because the Holy Spirit constrains it. We don't need to fear. Because our God is still in control. Our Father in heaven is looking after us as children. When He used that word light in Psalm 44 verse 3, he was saying that He was Yahweh in action. Isaiah tells us that the servant of the Lord was appointed as a light to the Gentiles, that He might bring salvation to you and me. Zechariah 14 makes it specifically significant. It would seem that there will be a continual light in the coming days. With these things in mind, did the people realize that He was talking about being the essence of life itself? He is not simply the light of the Jews, my friend. He is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. I have those scriptures, what I've just been saying for you. Zechariah there to finish with. If anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. The reference was the light not being in him was not a reflection of physical illumination. Jesus was saying that if the light is not in you, you are spiritually dead. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in this book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. But surely this is the dearest. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I, though so unworthy, yet I'm a child of His care. For His love reaches me, that His love teaches me. Everywhere. I'm excited this morning that I'm born again. I'm excited this morning that my Father is going to look after me and care for me all the days of my life. No matter how much I fail Him, His light will continually shine for me. His presence will continually be there. His protection will always be with me. He will never take it away. He will lead me to the promised land. I want you to imagine yourself in a dark room with no windows. And nothing can penetrate that room. It's full of darkness. And you light just the smallest of a candle. That flame will be enough to illuminate the room wherever you are. In utter sheer darkness. When I worked as an engineer down the mines, I was 2,000 feet underground. And all we had was a little light. And we were told that if ever that little light went out, you just stay exactly where you are. Do not move. The darkness was so thick and penetrating. You couldn't see your fingers. You could see nothing. I have never experienced darkness like it. And you would be terrified. You would stand there because your light had gone out. You could actually sense the presence of the darkness. And my friend, that's what we were without Christ. But Jesus has come. The glorious light of the gospel has come. We have seen his light. He has illuminated us with the truth. And the truth has set us free. And today, we can rejoice that we are members of the light of the world. We may not have the best house. We may not have the best cars. We may not have the best of what this world can give. But we've got something that is inexchangeable. We have the light of life in our hearts. Stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed. We find Christ this morning. I know what it's like to be in darkness. And I know what it's like to be in light. But by the grace of God, I stand here this morning. By the grace of God. And by the light. But let's reverse the scenario. Let's say you're in a room full of light like we are now, and what you've done is you have put in a bag darkness. And you've got it in that darkness, you've got it in your bag, and you bring it into this room and you open up that bag. What happens? Nothing. Nothing. Because the darkness cannot penetrate the light. You just open a bag. When you're in a dark room and you light a little candle, the room's full of light. But when you're in the light and you open up a bag of darkness, nothing happens. The light overcame the darkness. Friend, I want you to rejoice. But listen, the problem is the light cannot be overcome by darkness, but it can be hid by darkness. That's why Jesus said, when you light, you put a light on a hill, you don't put it underneath your bed. I'm thankful to God that the darkness cannot penetrate the light, but I've got to take some responsibility for my Christian life. It is up to me. You see, salvation is two things. One, it's pardon, and the second, it's process. You have been saved. That's an eternal event. That happens the moment you ask Jesus. But the second part of salvation is the process in which Jesus wants to take away the stuff that's wrong in our lives and replace it with his stuff. Let me finish, and we are finished. I truly do believe that if we want to win the people for Christ in this area, it's not that we're going to put Messy Church in. It's because people are going to see something different in the street where you live with your next door neighbor, where people will see you and say, I want what they have. They will see that we love one another. They'll see we'll care for one another. Yes, our good works. Not that our good works saves us, but Paul says continue to do good works that the world might see that our Savior. Most charitable organizations were started by born-again Christian men and women. It is an absolute fact that in society today, they are dependent upon Christian organizations to feed people, to clothe people, to be a help for people. One of the greatest organizations in the world is the Salvation Army, which we have a link into the police, where many people who have gone missing will go to the Salvation Army and they have a way through. If ever there was an organization who showed the love of God, it is the Salvation Army. I just want us to show that we love one another. All men will know that we are disciples when we're together as a family, when we meet on a Sunday morning, when we have fellowship one with the other. And Messy Church will be great this afternoon. But it'll be better when we are into talking and intertwining with the people who are coming in, and we show them from a genuine heart how much we love them. When our neighbours know how much we care for them, not how much we'd be. We have wonderful next door neighbours. Although I didn't appreciate a ring at 2 o'clock in the morning when I was in Ireland on holiday, but I understand why he rang me. Our alarm had gone off. It had gone off twice. It had gone off at 12 o'clock at night, and I'd rang Rob, because I know Rob would be in his quiet time and he wouldn't be in bed. And Rob came up to the house at 12 o'clock and he did whatever he had. When Rob got there, the police were there. And Rob looked pretty suspicious, as we know he does. And, you know, the police had to frisk him and things like that. But anyway, they finally let him go. And then about 2 hours later, I got a phone call again from my neighbour. Said, it's gone off again. I said, well, please don't get Rob. He's already been in prison for a while. He was doing it twice. I said, listen, let the thing ring. And I rang the electrician, Warmly Electrics, the next morning when I was in Ireland, and we got the problem fixed. But the great thing is I've got neighbours who look after my house. He sent all his, it's a big family, and he sent his sons next door over the fence in case anyone had broken in. And believe me, they wouldn't have wanted to meet them. But there's a care there, isn't there? Isn't that lovely? Friend, what are we like in our street as light? Are we hiding in the darkness? Or are we hiding in the light? We can win people for Christ. Let me finish with this illustration, and we are finished. One night, Robert Louis Stevenson, the man who wrote Treasure Island, as a little small boy in Scotland, he was looking out of his window. And he could see the lamplighter. In those days, a lamplighter used to go round and light the lights. And he screamed to his nanny. And his nanny ran upstairs and says, what's the matter, Robert? He said, look, that man is putting holes in the darkness. That man is putting holes in the darkness. Are we putting holes in the darkness of Pipe Hayes? In the streets where we live? I hope so. Jesus is the light of the world. The main thought that Jesus had is that people must respond to the light by welcoming him into their lives. Apart from that, they are lost eternally. Jesus is the light of the whole world, and that people's eternal destiny depends on their reaction to Jesus. I hope we win Pipe Hayes for Christ. I hope I put holes in the darkness. I hope by the way I live my life that somebody might see something in me that might attract them to the light of God. Friend, I believe we have the greatest Savior in the world. He's still putting holes in darkness. And he lives inside you and me. Oh, I hope you're glad you're saved this morning. I hope you're glad the truth has come to you. Because whatever else happens, you know one day you're going to be eternally with him. You are going to see the light of the world. He's going to illuminate heaven. And we're going to be there. I don't deserve to be there. You don't deserve to be there. But isn't it wonderful to know we will be? All because Jesus was wounded for me.